Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How are we to live with God's wisdom? Dr. Michael Easley's experience in ministry spans more than 35 years as a gifted Bible teacher and church leader. He served as the 8th president of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, Illinois, and has pastored 3 churches in Illinois, Virginia, and Tennessee. He's the author of Interludes, Prayers and Reflections of a Servant's Heart, and co-author of The Da Vinci Code Controversy. We pause at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program is to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you, my friend, to know that God loves you so much, He sent His Son Jesus. Hey, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter where you've been or what you've done, there is always hope in Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, who shed His blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ calls you to Himself. Will you turn to Him? Would you open your heart to Jesus? Receive Him as your Savior and Lord. Bring all your burdens, all your cares to Him. He will make you new. Dr. Easley has experienced that. He's earned his Doctor of Ministry degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's married to Cindy. They have 4 adult children. He also has an online radio program at michaelincontext.com, helping listeners understand God's Word and apply it to their lives. Dr. Easley, welcome to our show.
Well, it's a delight to be with you, Danny. Thanks so much.
Where did you grow up?
Born in Atlanta, Georgia, but was a child when my dad took a job in Houston, Texas. So Texas is pretty much home for most of our elementary, high school, and college years.
What stands out to you most about your those tender years growing up there in Texas?
I was raised in a very devout Catholic home. My parents went to Mass every day for 62 years of marriage. My dad traveled for a living, and he was very committed to find a Mass wherever he was. He sent us to parochial schools. So we grew up in a pretty devout Catholic home, and interestingly, I did not know Christ growing up Catholic until the junior high years, when I was exposed to a Sunday school teacher who actually gave us a paperback copy of the Gospel of John. And Danny, he read the story of Nicodemus. I'd never heard it before. It may have been shared with me, but I'd never heard it before. And he wrote John 3:16 on a green chalkboard and white chalk back in those days. And I sat in the back of that classroom with hair down past my shoulders and said, "All you have to do is believe." And that began my journey with Christ between my 7th and 8th grade education in the Catholic schools.
Hmm. Wow.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Well, in the early years, obviously my dad was a very good man, a hard worker, honest. I have a lot of sayings that my father, when we're kids, our parents drive us crazy with what they say. And then when we get older, we bequeath that to our children as their inheritance, right? So things like turn the light off when you leave the room. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Dad was a huge figure in my life, teaching me a work ethic and not quitting. And after coming to Christ, that was a good combination, Danny, to understand being faithful, not successful, and pressing on. And then through college and seminary, we could talk for hours of the men that God put in my life that really their fingerprints are on my soul, my heart, my brain. Howard Hendricks, of course, was a tremendous influence in my life, and other mentors that, you know, people wouldn't know their names nationally, but Floyd Sharp was a Christian counselor that befriended me. Dr. Alan Hull was a nephrologist that happened to be an elder in a church I attended. And on and I could go with men who were older than me, who gave me a part of a father at those different chapters of life that I'm forever thankful for.
What about Bob Tolson?
Robert Tolson, Dr. Bob Tolson, is the first time I ever heard the Bible opened and expounded. So I've just come to Christ a few years prior. I was still attending the Catholic Church, and I had a good friend in Houston named Dan File. And Dan and I were backpackers and climbers and weekend mechanic under the hood of our cars, and he invited me to his church, which, of course, is a good Catholic. I couldn't do that. We weren't allowed to go to a Protestant church. And so he said, well, let me come to your church. So I thought, great, I've got a convert on my hands. So he comes to the Catholic Church to Mass, and then he says, okay, I've been to your church, now you got to come to mine.
Reciprocate.
Exactly. So I go home with wide eyes telling my parents, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm certain my mother offered more than one novena for me. And so a couple of weeks later, I went to Saturday obligation Mass, and then Sunday morning I went and sat, and Bob Tolson opened the section in Matthew where he says, you are Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. And for almost an hour, Danny, he exposited that text. Number one, I never heard the Bible taught. Number two, I never understood what you are Peter and upon this rock meant. And number three, I tell people it was as if I had never tasted sugar and someone gave me a milkshake. I was immediately addicted. I had to know what this man knew about the Bible. He just explained the passage. And that sermon literally was one of those defining moments that changed my life. Understand, there's a Bible here that's approachable, that's readable, that's accessible. I mean, if the God of the universe gave us a book, 66 to be precise, with 39 authors, does he really expect we all have to be seminarians and graduate school people to read the book and understand it? And that really began my journey into knowing God through his word, as opposed to what well-intentioned people told me about Christ.
You earned a bachelor's degree in education. Were you planning to be a teacher?
Actually, that's a long, surreptitious story. I'll give the short version. I'd worked all through high school and college. I'd worked part-time jobs. My dad taught me that work ethic, so I had these programs in high school where you went half a day and then worked the rest of the day. So my junior and senior year of high school, I worked two part-time jobs. One was in a photo lab, of all places. And the lab owner offered to pay for my degree to go to Rochester Institute of Technology and study photoscience engineering. So to that end, I went off to Stephen F. Austin for a two-year associate's degree in anything. Of course, I'm starting to grow in Christ. I'm going to Bible studies. I'm going to a Bible teaching church now. I've left the Catholic Church, which was a very hard decision over about 2 years. And the more I got exposed to Scripture, I said, I'm not going to go to photoscience and engineering. So the Bachelor of Science degree was sort of a general degree, if you will. And then my hopes was to turn that into a pre-seminary program, if you will.
Well, now we'll talk more about your involvement with a very special school, very special institute. Dr. Easley, you're pastored, you've written books, now you're on the radio, and you're doing a talk show. What did God do in your heart through the years? I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit, to bring you to that place where you're expanding your ministry by interviewing your guests.
You know, we had been, I had pastored a church in Texas for 9 years. Then we were in the Washington, D.C. area for almost 12. before going to Illinois. And during our time in D.C., Danny, we were bumping shoulders with people that, I felt like such a fish out of water. I was not political. I knew nothing of the military. I knew nothing really of our country's history, ashamedly. And I go to Washington, D.C., Northern Virginia in 1993, and these people loved me and were kind to me, and I do love to learn, so I'm a sponge. And before I know it, I'm in the Pentagon doing Bible studies for flag officers. I'm in the White House on numerous occasions. I'm doing studies for men and women who are staffers. I've become friends with elected officials, judges. And in the 12 years during D.C., I got a worldview that I had never seen as a boy from Georgia and Texas. And these men and women encouraged me to be succinct, that, you know, that church had a global ministry. And you hear churches talk about global ministry, but Emmanuel Bible Church truly has a global impact because people come and go from all around the world. And so there were people there locally, and we did a little radio, and we did a little this and that. And we prayed about radio, but I knew enough about it to know that I couldn't afford it. And so when I left to go to the Moody Bible Institute, I teased about, you know, I couldn't get on the radio or afford to get on the radio, but I became part of an organization that put me on the radio.
I love it.
So before I knew it, I had a broadcasting arm and a publishing arm wanting to help me. And they were so kind and gracious to develop a couple of programs. One was called In Context, and then Moody Presents was a weekend program. And then I also started doing some interviewing because I actually enjoyed the interviewing aspect. I thought I was good at interrupting people, and so which is the art of interviewing, right? And so one thing led to another, and I had some good teachers. I had some good media training. You know, no one's good at this naturally. You have to have people train you. Had some great media training. And so little by little, I just fell in love with it and was very blessed to be part of Moody. And when we came to Nashville, jumping ahead, we had some starts and stops with broadcasting. As you know, it's an extremely expensive medium. And lo and behold, the internet starts coming up with SoundCloud and iTunes and Transworld Radio 360 and OnePlace.com and ways that were a little more affordable. And so, long story short, I had a group of people here in Middle Tennessee, as well as friends from D.C. who've helped us financially. And we just started growing the broadcast. And little by little, people have started to re-engage. And it's been very humbling to see how it's grown.
Well, let's continue that that line of our discussion when we come back from our break and find out more about Dr. Michael Easley at MichaelInContext.com. Again, MichaelInContext.com. You've heard Michael Easley mention, yeah, he's pastored three churches: Grand Prairie Bible Church in Texas, Emmanuel Bible Church in Northern Virginia, and Fellowship Bible Church in Nashville, Tennessee. When we come back, when you hear the names of the presidents of this institute, yes, Moody Bible Institute, I'm talking about, you will be amazed at the legacy that's been left. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I'm looking at the presidents of Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible Institute, yes. I see the name, of course, D.L. Moody, Dwight Lyman Moody, R.A. Torrey, Reuben Archer Torrey, James Gray, Houghton, Culbertson, Sweeting, Stoll, Joseph Stoll. Paul Nyquist is the president now, Suzanne. But Dr. Ken Easley, our guest today, was the 8th president of Moody Bible Institute. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show here. Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, Dr. Michael Easley. If you're tuning in right now, maybe you caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety for free at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Dr. Michael Easley, michaelincontext.com. Michael, what stands out most of your service there as president of Moody?
Overwhelmed. I remember Joe Stoll making the comment. He goes, "This is not a Christian college; it's a Christian conglomerate." And when you go there and you go to the 9th floor of Kroll and you see the pictures of the names you just read off, and you walk the halls and you understand, how an oatmeal tycoon, a cereal tycoon, contributed so much to this organization. How a woman named Miss Dreyer was the one who really goaded D.L. Moody to start the Institute, and you look at the second largest landholder in downtown Chicago being the Moody Bible Institute, and 38 radio stations owned and operated, and 2,000 repeaters, and on it goes. They have an axiom, the sun never sets on a Moody grad, because the legacy of so many of these young men and women who went on to be what we call traditional full-time missionaries. It's just overwhelming to be a part of it, and I mean, the students, the staff, the faculty, the publishing arm, some are old enough to remember the Moody Science Division. They, in so many ways, set a benchmark for how a Christian organization should work. I mean, it was just humbling to be there. It's certainly a crown and, I guess, a man's resume that you were there. But candidly, Danny, there were days I don't, Lord, you have a great sense of humor. Why am I doing this? There are better capable people than me. But very humbling. Students still resonate. I still keep up with some of these young men and women who've gone on to do great things. So it's just that, there was a comparison once, one professor who knew the story of Moody pretty thoroughly, and they said, even though we may think of Billy Graham with great respect and great influence, some believe Moody's footprint was larger than Billy Graham's footprint. And that puts it in a term that kind of boggles our mind based on technology and what we have today versus in Moody's day. Mm-hmm. But the legacy of D.L. Moody is just extraordinary. The people that have come to Christ, not just through his ministry, but people whom he affected. And that ministry keeps on going in a remarkable fashion.
At the risk of sounding oversimplistic, and this very well may be, Michael, would you say that because Moody founded an institute and Graham didn't?
I don't know, Danny. That's a good question. I just think, I use a lot of abbreviated characters, and one of them is EOG, Evidence of God's Sense of Humor. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we start out with plan A and versus plan B, and God uses plan C. Mm-hmm. And I call it imperceptible influence. We think we're doing one thing, and God may be using something else entirely. There was a reluctance, and again, history is not always a kind remembrance, but from what I've read of D.L.'s life, there was a reluctance to do what, build the Institute. He was an evangelist. Mm-hmm. And it was Torrey Gray that he brought along, and of course he then later goes to the Biola Institute. Biola is a offshoot of R.A. Torrey's ministry there, and the Torrey Gray Auditorium commemorating both those men. who were able to keep D.L. theologically aligned. But D.L.'s mission was real simple. English Bible to teach people how to communicate it well, how to use music, and to be evangelistic. And it was really that simple. Hmm. So as to whether or not, you know, we do it organizationally, mission, vision, leader, I don't know. But it is an amazing legacy that God uses any of us, and we surely thank him for people like D.L. and Billy Graham and others, right?
Mm-hmm. Pastoral ministry, preaching the word. How did your experience at Dallas Theological Seminary prepare you?
I'm going to sound like I'm overselling it and overstating it, but there's not a day, and that's really not hyperbole, that's not an exaggeration, there's not a day I don't thank God for my time at Dallas Seminary. Many Dallas students speak of it in this lore. I think I was there at the single best time of the seminary. We had Charles Ryrie, we had Haddon Robinson, was actually just leaving when I went there. We had, of course, Howard Hendricks, John Hanna, Stanley Toussaint, Lanier Burns, John Walvoord, who remains one of the most even-keeled theologians on prophecy. Alan Ross taught me Hebrew. These men were giants in their theological, biblical, hermeneutical grasp. And I tell people they taught me a grid of thinking. To start at the Bible as a book, to move to understand language, to go to what we call syntax in language, to understand grammar so that you can handle the text of the Bible, but then to think biblically and theologically. And that was new for me. To spend 4 years, 136 hours program, the master's program was at Dallas. You know, you could be a real contributing medical doctor by that time. You know? And you're just reading books and history and parsing Greek and Hebrew words and writing papers. And the process for me was, as Lewis Berry Chafer is attributed, saying, gentlemen, study for a lifetime, which I misinterpreted to mean prepare for seminary for a lifetime of ministry. What he was meaning was study all of your life. Mm-hmm. And I think those tools that I was exposed to at Dallas with these men that I aforementioned gave me the confidence as I'm preparing for a devotion tomorrow for a local company. I'm using the same Bible study methods, the same language tools, the same theological thinking that they instilled in me during that four-year program. So I sound like I'm overselling it, and that may not be everyone's experience, certainly, Danny. But for me, it transformed the way I look at life. And, you know, and to me, Howard Hendricks probably epitomized all that together about, are you making disciples? Are you truly making disciples? I think too many of the American pastors are building churches hoping someone else is going to make disciples. When Christ said, you make disciples and I'll build my church. Mm-hmm. And I think we've had that wrong for decades. And making disciples up close and personal really is ministry, not simply being in a pulpit teaching the Bible, which is critical. But that is a beginning, not the end.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at Suzanne Maurer, and she's nodding, she's glowing, she's smiling. You know, it's very personal to her because her son went to DTS.
Michael, he would be just saying amen, amen, amen. I'm not kidding when I told you he literally wept in the classrooms. It was just, he started out a two-year program and within 1 week asked if he could stay four.
Good man.
No, he just was very close to Howard and Wendell Johnston, and it's everything you said he would just agree with completely.
Yep, it's just a luxury to go there. I remember, fast-forwarding a bit, I'd been in the first church I served in Grand Prairie for about 2 years and thought, this is not what I wanted to do, this isn't working the way I thought it was, and I wanted to go to med school, which had always been sort of this other thing in the back of my mind. Fast-forward, I talked to a couple of doctor friends, and we had kind of a plan on, you know, getting ready to take the MCAT and so forth, so I was going to quit ministry, go to med school, or go to college for a year and get some good coursework behind me. I lacked some classes. Take the MCAT, see if I get in med school. And I went to tell Prof. Howard Hendricks' story over lunch. And again, Prof and I were very close. Mm. And so I'm sitting there at lunch where we ate at the Baylor Hospital for lunch right across from the campus, telling him this story, knowing his love for medicine and knew he was going to be so excited for me. And I was going to go into missions and be a medical physician and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And he didn't say much, and his jaw was pretty tight when he was eating. And after I waxed eloquent my sales pitch for about 5 minutes, he looked at me and he pointed upstairs. We're in the hospital, and he says, "I know the guys on the surgical floor up there, and they're not doing what you and I are doing right now." And then he said, "You've been handed a stewardship. When you went to Dallas, there were four who applied, one who got in. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that stewardship?" And I drove back from Baylor Hospital to Grand Prairie, Texas, weeping, angry, smiling, crying, praying, all the above, going, "Oh, crud, he's right." So all my plans were dashed, and I stuck it out, and here, 36 years later, still trying to figure out ministry, I guess.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, we all minister in different ways, but it's certainly been a privilege to be part of his church.
Mm. Well, not only did Dr. Michael Easley take Dr. Hendricks' advice, admonition, he went on and was recognized for his doctoral work. He received the John G. Mitchell Award for Outstanding Scholarship and Effectiveness in Ministry. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Dr. Michael Easley with us. Thank you for spending this time with us. And I believe that as we go on, Dr. Easley will share insights on life, real wisdom from the Word of God that will lift you, encourage you, challenge you. Michael and Cindy Easley put together the Marriage Mentor series. When we come back from our break, he'll share some of that with us. And also, you may be curious about this very thing. You know, his website, as I've said before, michaelincontext.com. You may ask, "Danny, what is that in context? Why is it phrased or put together in that way?" Well, we'll find out from him why it's called In Context. So michaelincontext.com is how you can find out more about him. Did I mention about a marriage mentor series? Well, hey, it all began when the U.S. Census Department began to use the term starter marriage. He'll be back to share more. Stay with us.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
It's called The Marriage Mentor. It's a book, it's a program that's been put on by Dr. Michael and Cindy Easley, The Marriage Mentor. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer, Dr. Michael Easley with us. As you think about life, as you consider, well, perhaps even today, maybe right now is a moment of challenge. Maybe someone looking at your face or looking at your demeanor may not necessarily pick up on what's going on in your heart. I suppose maybe something going on in your heart may be connected to a bit of strain that we go through in life if we're honest with ourselves. And that strain often comes in relation to our spouse. Maybe something said, something done, something we wish we hadn't done or said. Well, Dr. Easley is with us. You can find out more about him at michaelincontext.com. In fact, you can find out about the Marriage Mentor series at michaelincontext.com. Dr. Easley, what stirred yours and Cindy's hearts so much that you began the Marriage Mentor series?
I mentioned earlier, Danny, Prof. Hendricks had instilled in us to make disciples was our primary objective. So we always had small groups, and I was always chasing people and having Bible studies, men's Bible studies at 6 a.m. on Friday and so forth. One year when I was serving as a pastor at Emmanuel in the Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area, one year we had three couples get divorced that had been married about a year or so. I had performed a couple of their weddings, not their pre-marriage counseling, but as they were falling apart, I went to the parents. I had known their parents. They were friends. Said, how can I help? We need to intervene. Can we have some type of intervention? Just love on these kids and encourage them. And it was all a fool's errand. And one who remains a friend to this day, he said to me, Michael, this is a different generation. And I got so exasperated and so frustrated. We had a robust pre-marriage program at our church, but these marriages were falling apart. And you referenced earlier before the break, a woman named Popano is the one, I think, that wrote about the starter marriage. And that term ended up in the 1980 census. But fast forward, this is a marriage that is one to 3 or 5 years, no children, first marriage, and so therefore a starter home. You get rid of it and buy a nicer home. And that's sort of the way the census model looked. Well, I got angry, I got discouraged, I got frustrated, and I went home to Cindy and said, we're stopping our small group and we're going to do something to help these young couples. Now, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no idea. But it's one of those, I hate to, you know, if it works, you attribute to God. If it doesn't, we don't attribute it to God. But, you know, it's one of those, maybe the Lord is in this. And we sketched out a 2-year program very quickly of what it would take to shepherd young couples. And so we came up with this 1 year of marriage under their belt, because they're not listening in pre-marriage, it's obvious.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be married about a year to where they're having trouble with their money, with their sex life, with their expectations, with whatever, and they're ready to listen. Number two, we wanted to get them before children, because as you know, once you have kids, your world revolves around your child's teething and nursing and sleeping, and you know, the marriage gets put on the side. So long story short, we developed this 2-year program. None of it's original. We use Howard Hendricks' book, Living by the Book. We use a theology book by Paul Enns called The Moody Handbook of Theology. We use the book Two Becoming One by Dan and Sally Meredith. And what we do is we meet every week, every Sunday, for 2 hours plus in our home. We handpick these young couples, and we take them through all this material. In the meantime, Danny, I'm pursuing the guys one-on-one, and they're on my calendar on about every 6-week rotation or less. I'm meeting them. I go to their workplace. I want to see where they work. I want to go to their houses. I want to hang out with them. We do service projects together. We might take a day trip together. We might grab a movie together. But I'm pursuing them on a one-on-one basis to talk to them individually about what I'm picking up in the group. And then about the halfway point, I start handing over the facilitation of the group to these young men so that they can learn, you know, study and prepare and lead. Now, they've watched me do it for almost a year, so that shouldn't be a surprise. And we front load it. We tell them all this at the beginning. And we'll have maybe 40 couples apply for 7 positions. And we've done this now. We just finished, I think, our 4th or 5th group. And it takes an enormous amount of time and commitment. But we could point back on those groups. With all the sermons I've preached, many of them insufferable to listen to. But we could point back on these marriage mentor groups and say most of these couples aren't just doing well. They're walking with Christ, they're leaders in local churches, and they're continuing to return back to that 2 years as formidable in their faith and marriage.
What do you feel is most pressing today amidst economic challenges, political developments, and how it percolates into a marriage?
Well, I'll go a little broader than just marriage. I use the term horizontal Christianity. I'd say in the last 2 decades, 3, Christianity has become a me, my, I. It's about my vision, my passion, my dreams, my entrepreneurial, my marriage, my children, my homeschooling, my, you know, it's trendy here in the lower 40, 48 to raise chickens and have a goat. And the homeschooling thing can be great and all these things. I'm not against any of this, but it's become a horizontal life. We've lost somehow that we were bought with a price to glorify God in our bodies. We lost somehow the fact that we're to make disciples of all ethnos. We lost somehow the fact that we're stewards of what he's given us. We've lost sight of the fact that we're always stewards, never owners. And my heart breaks, and I get a little angry, Danny, when I see the church, I, me, my, your life, making it better and happier. Those things are ancillary, not central. Because you're never going to find satisfaction or fulfillment unless Christ is the center. And serving him and serving his people is the paramount objective. If we're making marriage better, parenting better, those are fine. But they're secondary. Show me a person walking close to Christ in the Word daily. I use the acronym God's Word, God's Spirit, God's People, in that order. Exposed to God's Word, controlled by God's Spirit, walking with God's people. If I don't have those 3 things going for me, I'm no good to anybody. So God's Word, God's Spirit, God's people, and somehow infusing others with that same passion. And that the pulpit can affect that, but actually people who know Christ and know their Bible pretty well, BSFers, Precept, anybody, community Bible study, people in your church, people in churches I serve, if they sat in a pulpit for a few years, they ought to be out in the trenches making disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so the marriage mentor thing is really a guise for discipleship. That's all it is. And we just selected a window of time in these young couples' life because we see the state of marriage, the state of gender question marks, and what is marriage, and people walking away from the churches, and you know all this. So my heart goes back to, what did Jesus say? Build big churches and attract people? He said, make disciples of all ethnos. Baptize them, identify them as followers of mine, and I'll build the church. And I think if we return to that, we'd be on a good track.
When the Lord gave you the name In Context Ministries, what's the meaning of that, In Context?
Well, I have to give, obviously the Lord's in charge of things, but let me give proper credit. The staff at Moody came up with that name because that when they heard me preach, I would often say, let's talk about the context. In context, what this word means, in context. And so they said, this is a double entendre because I'm always parsing the passage. What does it mean in context? Now, how do we apply it in the context of your life? And that it seemed to fit, you know, who I am and what I do, I guess. And then the interviews became a kind of a fun outflow. So while at Moody, we had a 5-day-a-week, a half-hour program called In Context. And then the Friday edition was, let me talk to Danny about his story and how he lives in context of his experiences, the things he's gone through, the job you have. I interview authors, I interview workers. I interview mentors. I interview men and women from all walks of life. Tell me your story in the context of living a Christian as this job, this profession, this expertise.
You wrote a book. Well, you wrote a couple books, but a book, Interludes, Prayers and Reflections of a Servant's Heart. There's one part of the book where you talk about an I love me wall. What is that, an I love me wall?
One of my elders at Emmanuel was a decorated naval officer, and he flew aircraft off naval aircraft carriers, and we had meetings in his basement from time to time, and they have all the military, as you probably well know, give plaques and pictures out for every event of any occasion, promotions, transfers, you know, change of commands. And so I'm walking down this wall, this stairway into his basement for the first time, and it's just covered with photographs that are framed. And I'm stopping and saying, John, what's this picture about? What's this? Tell me about this. And he just brushed me off, goes, oh, that's just an I love me wall. And I thought, what a great way to look at that. But these were all accomplishments in his 28 years in the Navy as a pilot and a leader and a commander and a captain. But he said, you know, that's my path. And he wouldn't talk about it. Not as a false pride, but it was just, that's gone. And that's not what's important. That's the I love me wall. What's important is what we're doing here in this basement, talking about his church and making disciples and reaching people for Christ who are hurting. And what a great elder, friend, shepherd he was to me for many, many years. And I still remember that poignantly, walking down the basement.
Dr. Michael Easley, he's also a regular conference speaker. His teaching has been featured at Billy Graham's Training Center, The Cove, Moody's Founders Week, and Pastors Conference, as well as Family Life Today conferences. You find out more about Dr. Michael Easley at michaelincontext.com. When we come back from our break, I often wonder when we share in our time with our guests about moments of challenge, times that have been difficult in their lives. Well, I'll ask Dr. Easley that when we come back. Perhaps there are some insights that the Lord will share with you, as I alluded to in a, well, fairly direct way early on, whether it's in our marriages, whether it's with our children, whether it's with our jobs or our health challenges. Well, the Lord has something to say about that through him when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenanen Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Me llamo Daniel y mucho hambre. Yeah, my name is Daniel, and I'm very hungry. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maurer with Dr. Michael Easley. Well, you say, Danny, why did you start that way with a little bit of Spanish? I think it's probably broken Spanish. Well,
no, es muy bueno.
Good Life Radio Show here. Thanks for joining us today. Dr. Easley, describe excellent Mexican food for us.
Well, yeah, you're just going to have to come to Texas or Tennessee, Danny, and I'll take you to places.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a chain, let me tell you that.
Uh-huh.
And we'll probably be the only non-Latin people in the restaurant. That's the second thing.
That's how you know it's authentic, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, I don't know what it is, but Cindy and I could eat Mexican food 3 times a day, 7 days a week, and probably never tire.
So could I. Amen to that.
So what is your favorite dish?
Oh, that's hard to answer. I would say probably a carne asada if it's done properly. And they take a piece of flank steak and they marinate it for a couple of days and they grill it. And, of course, I love hot food. So there's torreadores, which are either jalapenos or serranos that are grilled, and they're very warm. And good guacamole, good salsa, good chips, homemade tortillas, refried beans. And actually, there's only a few ways to make refried beans that are good, believe it or not. So it requires bacon grease is the bottom line.
Oh. Yikes.
Yeah, it's not health food. We have to get beyond that.
Suzanne is holding her heart.
I am, but I'm wanting to know your favorite restaurant in Houston.
Oh, gosh, Houston. Let me think. Oh, I can tell you. Let me think of the name of it for a second.
She's writing it down.
Yeah, like there's a really good one in Houston. Let me. While we're talking, I'll look it up.
Thank you. Mahalo. Or no, gracias.
Gracias. De nada.
How has the Lord helped you through difficult times?
So many I would talk about. Let me just, one for your listeners. I know you and I have a mutual admiration for Johnny Erickson Tata.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny and I have become friends over the years. I live with chronic pain. I don't like talking about it for a number of reasons, because all of a sudden everyone wants to send me remedies.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, everyone wants to treat me. You're defined, as Johnny says, you're defined as a quadriplegic in a wheelchair. And we don't like being defined that way. I don't like being defined as a person who has chronic pain. Nevertheless, mm-hmm. I had 4 major back surgeries. They fused my neck in 2010 at 7 levels. And living with chronic pain, and when you're laying on the floor and you can do nothing for yourself, the drugs don't help. The doctors can't assure you of a treatment program. Your wife or your husband can't help you. You just lay there. You have. It's very challenging to live with chronic pain. I don't know if your situation, if you deal with chronic pain, Danny, or not from your injuries, but chronic pain, is I call it a constant distraction. And when you can't turn it off, you can't stop it. A dear friend of Cindy's and mine who has MS, Barbara, lives with what she calls episodic pain, where she'll be in bed for days or weeks, on occasion months. And she'll say, I have three things in the bottom of a dark tunnel: me, God, and pain.
Mm.
And she will then say, there's no place I'd rather be, but I hate to be there. And to be candid and transparent, I never get there. I take my shoes off when I talk to Barbara and Johnny, because I hate being in pain. I hate being in intractable distraction. But they are able to go to a place with their walk with Christ. We're all different. This isn't a comparison or a contest. But I marvel at people who live with such disability and pain, and don't whine and don't complain. When I'm in that intractable pain, I'm pretty much, leave me alone. It's me, God, in pain, and I'm not real happy about this, God. I never ask why. I do ask how. I don't ask why I'm in pain. I deserve hell. Mm-hmm. So I have no cause to ask why. But I do ask how, Lord. How do I do this? How do I keep a civil attitude toward people? How do I care for people when I'm so distracted and their problem is a hangnail and I'm in intractable pain? How do I care about filling in the blank when this pain is so all-consuming? And that's the lesson Christ continues to teach me. In a sense, are we not all alone in a dark tunnel with God and pain? And it sounds a little bit disheartening, but when the props are taken away and life begins to fade and we get older, we go through a divorce, we have cancer, we lose a loved one, you or I will be in that dark place with me, God, in pain. And my response, and I hope all of ours, is to be faithful no matter, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's easy, but I think that's the call of the servant of Christ. He's called us to be faithful, not successful.
Someone today, as they hear you, it's a preaching through a relational context. Preaching, sharing, something speaks to our hearts. We know it's the Lord working in our hearts, customized to our situation. But as that happens, there's your openness makes one open. Your transparency makes someone open up with their transparency. A prayer, Michael Easley, a prayer for someone who is suffering, and like you said, it could be a broad spectrum of applications. Could you lead in a prayer?
Would love
and pray for our dear friend, dear loved one.
Would love to. Father, we come to you because we have no place else to go. When all the props are taken away, it is you that we cling to. As Paul reminded us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted in God. We know this earth is not our home. I pray for the person who's struggling in their marriage, parenting their son or daughter who's breaking their hearts, who's in and out of drug rehabilitation, who has lied and stolen, and opened themselves up to the world's horrible temptations. I pray for those who are single and raising kids by themselves and feel alone and rejected and forgotten, for those who have no friends, for that man or woman who is just looking for some inkling of hope. Thank you that you love us. Nothing we can ever do would make you love us less, and what you have done has been the greatest demonstration of love of all time, that you died in our place, on our behalf, instead of us. You so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son to die in our place. And so we cling to that truth, that Jesus lived, died, was buried, and came back from the dead. And this is our hope, This life is temporal. This life is a way station. This earth is not our home. So give us the courage to just do the next thing. To get up, to care for ourselves, spend time in your word, to ask for your spirit's help and control in our lives, and to walk with God's people who will shape and encourage and comfort us as we navigate this, at times, very difficult journey. We're not alone unless we choose to be that way. So encourage them to take the next step, to do the next thing, to just do the next thing. And those next things become habits and patterns over time. We love you, Lord. Thank you in ways I don't even know how to say that you listen to us. Thank you. In Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Easley, thank you so much for your ministry today, your heart, your sharing. Before we close, by the way, did you get that restaurant from Houston, that Mexican restaurant?
Sorry, can I email it to you?
You will.
Yes. I won't be there till November, so you have time.
Oh, we're safe. Yeah, sorry.
Dr. Michael Easley. I know I asked a
thank you, Danny.
I asked a tough question, Suzanne. You know, I went from Mexican food and I went right to
you got me hungry. I was trying to be spiritual.
Exactly.
Encouraging insights today from Michael Easley. Again, find out more at michaelincontext.com. My friend, you know, God's timing is indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. Hey, and if you haven't done so, I believe this is a perfect moment to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 119:49, remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. Michael Easley. Find out more at michaelincontext.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.